This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Sage Smiley. Students in Newtok and Mukhtarvik have had a much longer spring break than planned. Power to school buildings in both communities has been out for the better part of the past 2 weeks. KYUK's Emily Schwing has more.
Last January, a fire destroyed the generator that powered the school in Newtok. The Lower Kuskokwim School District replaced it twice. Mechanics arrived in Newtok for another round of replacement parts Friday afternoon in the hopes that power would be restored in time for school next week. A new generator was also delivered 9 miles east across the Ninglik River to Mukhtarvik Friday, where the tribal administrator was awaiting a team of mechanics to help install it. This winter has been hard on electricity infrastructure in the new community. Mukhtarvik is the new subdivision where Newtok residents are in the process of relocating because the permafrost under their town is melting and the land they live on has grown unstable in recent years. As more people move across the river, the demand for power has increased, and that's increasing wear and tear on the generators that power Mukhtarvik. In addition to the school, which doubles as the emergency evacuation center, at least half a dozen homes were also without power in Mukhtarvik as of Friday afternoon. That includes teacher housing. LKSD has evacuated 3 teachers to Bethel until power is restored to their homes. In Anchorage, I'm Emily Schwing.
The Yukon River Intertribal Fish Commission is requesting special action relative to this summer's management of depressed salmon stocks. KUAC's Dan Bross reports.
The commission is asking the Federal Subsistence Board to limit fishing for Yukon River Chinook, Chum, and Coho on federal waters of the river to rural residents in accordance with the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act.
The federal government needs to uphold the provisions of ANILCA and give subsistence priority to people living on the river who depend on these fish to feed our families.
That's Commission Chair Eagle Village Chief Karma Olvi during a Wednesday public hearing on the Special Action Request, or SAR, which also asked the board to require the Federal Fisheries Manager to determine salmon harvest openings, closings, and gear types.
For 2 decades, management by the state of Alaska has failed to ensure sustainable salmon populations by meeting escapement goals and ensuring that subsistence is the highest priority use over commercial fishing.
Olvi was critical of last summer's federal management, which she said mirrored state actions. Federal biologist Holly Carroll addressed the practical challenge of managing fishing along a patchwork of state and federal waters.
Quite honestly, we purposely coordinate with the state to make sure that we don't have one area closed and another area open, right? Because that wouldn't protect salmon. And we all really just want to protect salmon.
Meanwhile, Carroll said managers are expecting another weak Chinook return this summer.
We had an escapement of Chinook last year of about 15,000 fish. And this year, our forecast isn't for a much larger run. If there is any fishing for subsistence, it is likely to be on the summer chum.
The Federal Subsistence Board will consider the Commission's Yukon River Special Action Request at an April 15th meeting. In Fairbanks, I'm Dan Bross.
In other state news, Alaskans lost almost double the money to online fraud last year that they did in 2022, according to FBI complaints. A new report from the Bureau shows that scammers cost Alaskans more than $31 million in 2023, up from about $16 million the year before. Overall, nationwide losses to online fraud rose by about a fifth over the same time period. Special Agent Andy Smith leads the FBI's white-collar crime squad in Anchorage. He says the new numbers aren't a full account of Alaskans' losses.
We actually believe that the numbers are underreported. We think that there are individuals who don't report these things.
According to the report, last year Alaskans suffered the nation's sixth highest rate of losses per capita. Alaskans also reported fraud at the second highest rate in the U.S., behind only Washington, D.C. Smith says that although the FBI extensively investigates complaints, many scammers are in foreign countries, and he says that means being wary of scams before they happen is crucial.
Prevention is so important when it comes to these types of crimes.
Smith says people should use basic security like strong passwords and a reputable antivirus software on computers and smartphones. People should also avoid clicking on links in suspicious emails and text messages and manually verify any company email addresses or contact numbers in them. The three top types of online fraud reported in Alaska involve compromised emails, investment fraud, and romance scams. Smith says those involve scammers convincing you that you're in a relationship, then asking for money.
We see a lot of victims falling prey to fraudsters, especially on social media, who are looking to develop a relationship. Sometimes that can be friendly, sometimes it can be romantic. But eventually these individuals will start asking for funds or gifts or gift cards or cryptocurrency.
Alaskans can report online fraud to the FBI through the Internet Crime Complaint Center's website. That's at ic3.gov. Bringing things back local, each year the Miss Chemai pageant brings together young women from across the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta in a whirlwind day of interviews, essays, and service. In the end, a 22-year-old from Bethel and Amonok took home the Miss Chemai 2024 title. Here's a report. Wearing neskruns, rasbaks, peluruk, and other Yupik regalia, the four Miss Chemai contestants approached the final event of their marathon pageant day, the crowning of Miss Chemai.
Miss Chemai is really a role model who has the opportunity to travel within the YK Delta to represent the Yupik and Chupik people of the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta.
Kelsey Wallace, a former Miss Chemai herself, emceed the ceremony. She said scoring this year was very close.
You guys all were really incredible today. You spoke eloquently, you took care of one another, and you took care of others when you were at the elders' feed. So I just want to say, Royana, regardless of what happens tonight, you all did amazing. You are already role models for so many in this room and throughout our YK Delta. So let's give them all one round of applause. Let's love them up.
Throughout the day, the four contestants interviewed with judges, participated in a photo shoot, wrote an essay, served elders at Chemai's Native Foods Dinner, and introduced themselves and their families to festival attendees, saying why they chose to participate in Miss Chemai.
To all of the future Miss Chemais out there, we see you and we love you and we lift you up, and you're already an incredible role model. So let's give these ladies one more round of applause.
At about 10:45 p.m. on March 16th, Wallace announced 22-year-old Tatiana Danka Corthius of Bethel and Amonok as Miss Chemai 2024.
All right, and that means that your 2024 Miss Chemai is Tatiana Corthius.
And crowned her with a red and gold naskrun, dance headdress, and a maroon sash.
I'm very excited. I'm honored. I'd like to thank my family. I'd like to thank Kelsey for putting it together and everybody who made this happen.
Corthius credits her family for her Miss Chemai win.
Every time the announcer, the MC, was announcing that, you know, this Miss Chemai pageant was going on, they would nudge me and say, Tatiana, you should run. And as last night, I took the application, you know, I slept on it and woke up this morning, early this morning, I was like, you know what, I'm going to, because why not?
This year, Miss Chemai is a student at the University of Alaska Anchorage studying environmental science. She's also been involved with the Alaska Native STEM programs, ANSEP, since she was in sixth grade. Corthius told the crowd she's also an Arctic Youth Ambassador.
And my plan for the future is to finish my bachelor's degree and to continue to advocate and uplift our Yupik people, our Yupik youth across the state, country in Arctic.
Marie Twitchell from Kasigaluk was the first runner-up, who will step in if Ms. Chamai can't fulfill her duties. In the public statement portion, Twitchell said her motivation for running for Ms. Chamai was to help preserve and celebrate Yupik language.
Elders wouldn't want to see our native tongue end this way. Another thing that I want to teach others to speak our first native language, Kwana.
Wearing her Ms. Chamai Naskhon crown and looking toward a year as the reigning Ms. Chamai, Corthius said she hopes to serve as an inspiration and a cheerleader for the youth of the YK Delta.
With the Ms. Chamai title, I hope to continue to uplift and encourage young youth across the YK Delta that anything is possible. You can do it. Bugnauten, you can do it. And that no matter what challenges you face, you can do it.
As Ms. Chamai, Corthius will have opportunities to travel around the state with that uplifting message, including representing the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta at the World Eskimo Indian Olympics in July. In Bethel, I'm Sage Smiley. This is KYUK News. I'm Sage Smiley. Kwayana Chuknak for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Yuchtun Ganamchit coming up.